You know, life can feel like a battle. Day to day, it can be exhausting. We're fighting with our parents, we're fighting with our children, we're fighting with our spouse, we're fighting with our employers, we fight with our neighbors, we fight with our coworkers, and it's just a constant battle. And for a long while, we can be really angry as we fight over and over, day after day. But over the years, the anger wanes, we get exhausted, and it just turns to depression and anxiety. We're constantly battling, and nothing seems to get better. If anything, with the daily battle of life, we just get worse, more angry, more cruel, or more depressed, or more anxious. And we wonder, when is it going to end? And so oftentimes we look for an escape, whether it's alcohol or drugs or our cell phones or internet or TV or unhealthy relationships. We try to run from the problem, avoid it, or at least pretend it's not there for a fleeting moment, only for it to return worse off and us less able to handle it. In the first reading today from the book of the prophet Zechariah, God describes the Messiah coming in the face of battle as a warrior, but in this case, to fight our battles for us. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. God, through the prophet Zechariah, recognizes that our life is a battle, and we're tired, and we can't seem to win. And so he steps forward and says, let me fight your battles for you, that you might rejoice and shout for joy to see your king coming to you, a just savior. But how does this warrior come to fight our battles? How does this warrior come to liberate us from the anger, the depression, and the anxiety? Meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He comes in humility to teach us what? To show us how we can let go and let God fight our battles for us. So often we try to do things our way. The alcoholic who refuses to go into treatment or join AA, who thinks I can quit on my own when I want, only to die from the disease inevitably, or the drug addict, or the person with mental health problems or anger management issues. I can fix it. I just got to find another way. And refuse to get help. They will never be cured. Rarely, if ever. Jesus shows us that as a warrior fighting our battles for us, he comes in humility. What does that mean for you and I? If we want God to fight our battles for us, first, we have to surrender to him. That famous song that you all know well from Frank Sinatra is the anthem of hell and all those who are in it. I did it my way. It sounds glorious. It's fun to sing. But I can't think of a more perfect anthem for all the demons in hell than that. I did it my way. Forget you, God. I'm going to do it my way. Forget you, wife. Forget you, AA. Forget you, therapist. Forget you, support group. I'm doing it my way. And the gates of hell flood open as more and more enter. Christ tells us, if you want me to fight your battles for you, if you want to be able to rejoice, to shout for joy, and to experience me as a savior in your life, surrender to me. What does that look like? Going to confession on a regular basis, once a month. There's no more powerful way to say, Lord, I surrender. Without your mercy, I cannot be saved. Forgive me my sins. I renew my commitment to keep your commands. The other way that we surrender to him is by learning the commandments and asking for the grace to live them out. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way, Lord. What are your commands? Teach me your ways. Show me your path. Show me how to live, and I will imitate you, no one else. Paul warns us of the contrary. If we do the opposite and live in the flesh, we will surely die. But if by the Spirit, living out of the grace of our baptism and confirmation, keeping God's commands, practicing virtues to overcome our vices, the Spirit will put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. So regular confession, learning the commandments. And then here's a key point, to pray from our hearts. Those three things, confess often, learn the commandments, but above all, start with praying from the heart. What do I mean? We come to church every week maybe, and we're exhausted from our battles, and we're distracted. We come into church, we talk with everyone, we don't read the readings ahead of time, we don't pray ahead of time, we don't settle our minds, we don't settle our hearts. It's just a bustle of noise and activity, and then Mass starts and our mind wanders. We sit in the pews and we're daydreaming. We have no idea what's going on, what the readings just were, or what Father just said. It's just another thing in our routine. It has not changed us and will not change anything in our life. But when we start to pray from the heart, we put all of what we're feeling, all of what we're thinking into the words of the prayer and give them to Jesus, everything changes. What do I mean by that? Well, you've heard the rosary in groups. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. What is that noise? What is that noise? Who talks like that? Do you talk to each other like that? Why would we talk to Mary, the Mother of God, the Queen of heaven and earth, that way? But if we say the words from our heart with meaning and think about them, not only do we learn about our faith from the prayers, but we say them with love, and that changes everything. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. When we pray those words with heart, with feeling, with love, we change. We listen to the words and we learn from the prayers what we believe. So often Catholics use religion like Tylenol. I'm angry, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, let me pray to make it go away. It's just a repression of our emotions. The exact opposite of what King David does in the Psalms. Religion is not a Tylenol. It's not the opioid of the masses. Make the pain go away and pretend nothing's happening. Quite the opposite. If we're living religion rightly, it's about a relationship, and that's why we pray from the heart, and that's why we pray out of our emotions. If you're feeling angry, tell God about it. That's what David did in the Psalms. If you don't believe me, Google Psalms about anger, and several will pop up. There were psalms in the Liturgy of the Hours that us priests, deacons, and religious pray daily that were horrific, that captured terrible anger on the part of David, and that we were required to pray frequently. One of them said, "May I grab the infants of my enemies and smash them against the stones." I mean, good Lord, that's awful. Can you imagine grabbing a one-year-old baby by the legs and smashing them against a rock? Good Lord, that's how David felt. Hopefully he didn't do it. That's how he felt because of his enemies, and those were going to be his future enemies, killing more of his people. So let me get rid of their kids. But he turned it into prayer. We think, oh, but God might be offended. He already knows what you're thinking. He's not up there going, oh, I had no idea you felt that way. Let it out. If you're feeling depressed, put in Google Psalms about depression, and several will pop up. Pray them. If you're feeling happy, anxious, whatever it is, Google it. Psalms about anxiety. Pray them. Pray from your heart. The emotions are the wellspring out of which prayer should flow. When people say, I don't know what to pray, I ask them, well, do you have any feelings whatsoever? Pray that. Tell him how you feel. Put that into your prayer. I remember, you know, I was a certain way as a child. We're a typical teenager. I hate you, mom and dad, slamming doors, angry, disobeying them, not doing what they asked, being mean to my sister, and I didn't know how to change. I was so used to that way, I didn't know any other. And so I remember on my knees in tears with my door closed in my room begging God, Lord, help me. I want to love my parents and I don't know how. Help me to treat my sister the way I should treat her. I don't know how. Help me. And I would pray the rosary from my heart, with the door closed, in the secret of my room, with tears. And day in and day out, God changed my heart and changed our family completely. When we pray that family, that rosary as a family, miracles happened when we prayed from the heart, when we prayed out of how we feel. Jesus knows that life is like a battle and we're worn out and exhausted and tired. That's why he says to us today, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." It's not enough just to show up in these four walls and sit down while you talk to your neighbor until Mass starts and then talk to them immediately when it's over and be completely distracted for an hour. It's not going to work. Just like it doesn't work marriages when you hate each other's guts, even though you sleep next to each other on the same bed or you sit across from each other at the dinner table. It doesn't work. Only when you speak from the heart and you listen and ask God for the grace to love, can we do what he's inviting us to do? Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. When you humble yourselves by frequent confession, by praying from the heart and studying God's commandments, praying for the grace to live them, you will find rest for yourselves. You will know and learn that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Then, letting God fight your battles for you, you with the prophet Zechariah can proclaim in the presence of Christ the Messiah he anticipated, "Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just Savior is he, meek and riding on an ass." He is here now. He comes to you in word. He comes to you now in sacrament. Can you see him? Will you let him enter? Will you humbly allow him to rule over you and surrender to him? Because when you do, you will never cease with the words of the psalmist today, "I will praise your name forever, my King and my God."